This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Amazing how much of your free spirit gets sucked away and dried up when someone backs up a Brinks truck and says, "Hey, come work for me." It's amazing how your freewheeling creativity and all that fun stuff goes by the wayside when someone writes a nice big fat check. End of the day, there's not a guy that wanted, if the money was right, that wanted to go to WWE. I have concerns. It's concern. I think everyone that's a fan of New Japan should be concerned for this situation. This is not an internet, let's get everyone hyped up kind of situation. This is a legit, serious, I would not be surprised if it happens kind of thing.
Everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. At the time that we are recording this, it is Sunday morning, January 29th, and we have got a lot to talk about today because, Damon, we are on the road to the new beginning. So, we're going to be reviewing this show that took place from Corken Hall this past Friday on the 27th. We're going to be giving our official new beginning in Sapporo preview. That is going to be taking place next Sunday, February 5th. But as you heard at the top of this broadcast, all right, Damon McDonald eating a bit of crow today.
Well, we're having a little fun with it, right? Everybody knows my feelings before Kenny Omega's announcement on Dave and Brian's little shindig, little podcast there. And the news broke that Kenny looks to be hanging on with New Japan for at least, as he says, at least a year. He's flying over in February to hopefully iron that out. And so why not? Let's have a little fun at my expense, lay the boots to me a little bit. And again, I think a lot of people were feeling the same way I was. No one really knew. I don't think he knew. I'm sure that he talked with he explored all of his options, Colin. And like I said, I really feel like, you know, this wasn't necessarily a last minute decision, but. And he may have been leaning New Japan wise the entire time, but I think there was conversations, I think there was considerations, and I think that there he weighed all his options, and maybe it sounds like he got the deal that was more in tune with who he is as a person, which quite honestly is refreshing, right? I think that interview was a very refreshing take on the business from Kenny Omega.
Absolutely. And number one, I don't know why he went to Dave and Brian when the Purocast is right here. I mean, I feel like we could have done an excellent job breaking that news, but
I do too. If only we had a mixer.
If only we had that elusive mixer.
Oh man, that technology holding us back again. Yeah, I think
in all seriousness though, as much as people on the interwebs like to say, "See, I told you it was all a work."
Yeah,
I don't think they realize how close this probably was.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the goofiest thing of this whole process are people that are it's a work. He's working. Dave Meltzer's in on it. You know, like, why would Dave Meltzer be in on this? Like, Dave Meltzer gives a shit about what Kenny Omega does.
I think Jesse Ventura needs to investigate this.
I mean, like, that's the worst part. Like, everything's got to be a work. Everything's got to be a work. Like, but can it just be a guy who, again, has options to explore, and he's going to explore them, and he's talking to a company that has lots of money that could change his life financially and the security now until the day he is put in the ground. You know, why not have that conversation, and why not explore those options? Why can't it just be that? But no, everything's got to be a work.
Life is a work, Damon.
Well, listen, we all know that. That's for certain. But no, it was exciting, and it was something to talk about. And again, at that time, that Sunday that we recorded, I think that quote. It's not like if I were able to turn back the hands of time and go back to that Sunday, it would still feel the same way given the information that was given to me.
If I could turn back time.
There you
time.
Go. Who is that? That's Cher, right?
That is right.
Wow, we're opening up hot here. All the hits of the 80s.
Before we get into this new beginning preview, though, Damon, I want to ask you one more Omega question. And,
ask me all the Omega questions you want. I'm all about it.
Let's do a little fantasy booking here, and I want to ask you how you would book his return. And I'll tell you mine. Quite simply, he would come back, win the New Japan Cup, challenge Okada at Osaka in Dominion in June, and win the title. There you go.
Look, I have no if he's coming back, he's obviously going to be in the mix and heavily in the mix. And, you know, that would not surprise me. That certainly wouldn't surprise me. To me, the biggest takeaway from the conversation that he had with Dave and Brian was, one, mentioning that, you know, one of the main reasons why he was bailing out deciding to stay with New Japan, we'll phrase it as. One of the things that he used to sway that decision was he said something along the lines of he had unfinished business with a friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all know who that friend might be.
I think that his initials are
Tiger Mask W. What?
yes, Tiger Mask W.
Oh, yes, Kota Ibushi, Colin. So that was exciting to hear, right? That even he recognizes that. Also, as a side note, when he mentioned, again, we talk about it a lot, that match with AJ, right? With Kota Ibushi, AJ, and him, his involvement in it, and the glare and the stare that we've always referenced of, okay, so they have something to build on. Well, that was them doing it. That was kind of them working that out in the ring.
They were booking their own angle.
They were booking their own, yeah. They're going to business for themselves. But I will say this. If that is true, New Japan has the greatest set of directors, you know, and production people in the history of the business, because they captured that glance and they went back and forth and listen, somebody was clued in that they were going to work this little side thing, AJ, Ibushi, and Omega. Because those camera people were right on top of it, right, the whole time. So God bless them. So that's a little side thing. So thank Kota Ibushi for all this, number one. What was my second point, Colin? My second point was, that was my first point.
What would you do with him going forward, you, if it was up to Damon McDonald?
Well, again, this was the second thing that I took out of it. And trust me, it'll lead to this point, Colin. You know how I work. You know how this brain works. 1 year deal, at least a 1 year deal, right? And everybody kind of got up and, you know, woo, 1 year. Well, wait a minute. Now we're going to have to do this all over again in a year. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, that gives him extra time to find an apartment in Orlando.
Property values are very high there, Colin. You got to make sure you get a nice waterfront property. That's correct.
I know.
I really like the idea of a 1 year. Let me tell you why. I like a guy who bets on himself, right? We know that this year is going to be kind of New Japan dipping their toes in the water when it comes to this U.S. expansion thing, right? And then 2018 is really when we start rocking and rolling, right? Let's see how 2017 pans out, right? Let's see how 2017 – let's see what Kenny Omega does for the company is really what he's saying. Let me show you what I can do for you, right, being a top guy for your company when we talk about this U.S. expansion. Here's the money I've made you. Here's the shows that we've sold out. Here's the merch that we've sold, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And then at the end of the year, he can renegotiate a contract, right, based off of that value.
That's a good point.
Which I'm sure will change. So for Kenny Omega, yeah, I would want a one-year deal, not because of the WWE, not because of that. It's because of here, I'm going to show you what I can do. Give me some money now because I'm already the hottest guy in the fucking world right now. I'm not going to get any hotter, right? I really don't think you're going to get much hotter from a WWE wanting you kind of perspective. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to sell out? Are you going to main event the Tokyo Dome again? You already did it. What am I going to do? Have a great match again? You already did it. But you're going to show value to the company of New Japan. So this leads me to your question. How would I book a return? So, yeah, I think that's a perfect way to get him back into the mix and back into the mix heavily. But here's where I'm really excited. And unfortunately, we have 2017 to kind of work our way through. It's 2018 and 2019 that really look very interesting to me because there is a guy and there might be multiple guys. And again, maybe I'm just speaking out my ass on this. I think that there is a very good possibility of a return of an NXT superstar now, possibly a WWE superstar, right around that time frame, right? And imagine the U.S. expansion, right, that New Japan would want to undertake with those two gentlemen under their banner who, you know, maybe I was working myself, and I put that in the air quotes, but I kind of watched bits and pieces of this NXT show, and I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be amazing if this whole thing with Nakamura – wait a minute. I need my bell. Where's my bell? Because we mentioned him.
Ding.
Can somebody – thank you. Ring a bell. We met our Nakamura quota of the day. He comes back as a bigger star than ever. So that would be, to me, a major signing for New Japan.
You know what, Damon? I didn't even think of that.
Because they used them to help push and make a star out of Nakamura. He returns, and Omega's back, and Okada's there, and Naito's there, and away we go. Huh? That's called a real solid, solid U.S. expansion team. Huh?
I like your train of thought there. And quite frankly, I don't think that it is ridiculous to say that something like that would happen. Because when I look at Nakamura in NXT, you know, I watched this NXT show last night, well, bits and pieces of it anyway, from San Antonio. And I just think that Nakamura, you know, here's a guy who... best wrestler in the world. They sign him, they bring him in, and he's taken bumps in Bumblefuck, Florida in front of 300 people for a year. I think that he might be a tad disappointed at the way that the company brought him in, because no doubt he's learned where that elusive hard camera is by now, right?
Look, I wouldn't be surprised if we see him during the year in the big leagues, if you will. But again, it's just me kind of thinking out loud, mind you. But you know, we go back and ring the bell, Colin.
Bing.
AJ.
There we go.
We knew he was. I don't want to say on loan. You know, we knew that his time really. You know, even though he was a major. And key contributor to the success of New Japan in recent years, that he was, you know, more than likely he was going to be going, right? I can say the same thing about Nakamura. I don't think Nakamura is going to be a lifer WWE guy. I think Nakamura at most is, you know, 3 to 4 years, right?
If that, I mean, do you think that he's happy there right now? I mean, I don't know the guy. I can't get inside of his mind, but just based on how he has been used the past year, I mean, let's face it. Okay, so he's been NXT champion. Whoop-de-fucking-do. They've done nothing with him. They had a golden opportunity to bring in who, at that time, was probably the hottest guy who you could sign.
Yeah.
And what did they do with that opportunity? They squandered it by having him, again, take bumps in front of a couple hundred people in a rec center in Florida.
Well, I mean, I hate to have this go in this direction, but it's like NXT is a brand, you know, and he was, you know, one of the key contributors in helping making that brand successful. So anyway, getting away from that talk, and you know, I don't want to harp on that, but that's something to think of. So, you know, if New Japan were to bring back that gentleman, you know, what about a guy like, you know, Kenta?
Hey, there's another guy who I think is kind of getting a bit frustrated at his position in the company. I mean, he has to be.
I mean, injuries aside, yeah. So that's another person that you might think. Now, again, the argument can be made, listen, they're bigger stars than they ever were or ever could be in New Japan. Yeah, at the time, I 100% agree. But, you know, when we talk about that U.S. expansion, we already got two guys that, I don't know, maybe the shoe's on the other foot. Maybe we use them being New York, to help make a star for us, right? Help make a guy even bigger than he already was in the company, and then he returns. And again, we're going to use that pawn to maybe take a little bit of the piece of the pie out of the pie that you've occupied for many years, and that pie being the good old US of A, right?
So you're saying this was all a work? Optimism?
It's all work.
There you go.
We've all been worked for 2 years. There you go. All right, so there you go. Kenny Omega, looks like he'll be back for at least a year. Hey, who knows? Maybe it's 2 years. Maybe they get there and New Japan makes him an offer he can't refuse. Maybe it's 2 years. But I like the idea of a year for Kenny and even the company, right? Even the company can reevaluate and say, okay, you're right. Here's what you did for me. Here's how valuable you are. Because, you know, for 6 months, he's been a top guy. And that's not a long time, right? You know, it was really – well, yeah, I take that back. I mean, the beginnings of it was that New Year's Dash show with Omega. So it was a little bit more than 6 months. But really, the G1 was when the rocket was strapped to the back of him.
Right, because we thought he fizzled out at that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, he still had the good matches with Elgin, right?
Sure.
The Tanahashi thing never really kind of got off the ground with Tanahashi being injured. But, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of six-man stuff. There was, you know, there's just, yeah, we kind of did feel like that the original, I don't want to say push, but the original rocket pack, so to speak, was it fizzled. And then it got recharged with G1. G1 is when he blew up. G1 is when he took off. And then from there, obviously, leading to the dome is when, you know, his stock just went through the roof. I don't know. Maybe I'm just kind of being – maybe I'm being optimistic, Damon.
Optimistic, yeah. Damon. That's an oxymoron.
It really is. Trust me. I know it. It feels weird. I've got this tingling sensation. But, yes, maybe I'm just kind of – maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm just being optimistic. But wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be true competition at that point with that roster coming in doing shows here in the States? I don't know, man. That's something I would look forward to looking forward to seeing those two situations. How do they handle that? And maybe raiding some of that talent and that, you know, at one time we thought, well, that was a death blow to New Japan. Maybe not a death blow, but it hurt. Maybe in some way we can kind of reap the benefits of what that company sewed for New Japan. All right.
Well, that is our weekly Kenny Omega talk for you folks. And on that note, what do you say I reach down between my legs and ease the seat back, and we get into this. That's right. I'm glad you got the reference.
Of course.
And we get into this Road to the New Beginning show, which took place from Corrigan Hall on Friday the 27th. And let's go through this card match by match. Overall, once again, fun, easily digestible show that did a good job at building up all of the main matches for the New Beginning cards.
Yeah, it's a little paint by numbers, but that's what you expect from these Road 2 shows. Again, sometimes I wish Corrigan Hall was treated a little bit more special in the sense of, all right, enough with the multi-man tags. Give this audience a little something, the best audience in the world. Let's give them something to let's give them something to talk about.
Hey, a little Bonnie Raitt on the PuroCast.
How about that? Listen, again, hits of the 80s, baby. Was that 80s? That was 80s, right?
Yeah, I think that had to be 80s.
Had to be 80s,
it's
right?
It's kind of our theme. We're a New Japan / 80s nostalgia podcast, yeah, really.
That's really hard. I think you're right about that. It's not far from the truth at all. It was a good show. I enjoyed it. I know you texted me. I saw this pretty much right after it was uploaded on World. I didn't watch it live. I watched the replay. I watched it, but I watched it that day. You watched it a little bit later, and you texted me, sent me the electronic text message, kind of getting my take on it, my temperature, and I liked it. I thought it was good. You know, it was a Road 2 show. Again, I wish that the shows were a little bit juicier for that crowd. I think they deserve it.
Juice was on this show. What are you talking about?
My bad. You're right. You know what I'm talking about, Colin. It's, you know, there's only so many multi-man tags you can handle, but they have it down. They have the pattern down with these Road 2 shows to get people amped up for the big show, and I think that they – and not that big show. You know what I'm talking about.
Well.
So I thought it was good. Yes. Yes. Good show. Good show. Let's get into it.
Let's kick it off with the opener. We've got Yuji Nagata taking on Tomoyuki Oka. And I think we made an error last week because I think that I can't remember how it went, but somehow Kanemaru was referred to as a young lion.
Yeah, that was.
And I think maybe he would have been. He was mistakenly put in this opening slot, or.
Oh, we totally fucked it. Yeah. We shit the bed.
So we apologize for that, folks.
Well, listen, if you're listening to this podcast trying to find errors, you're gonna go all day. You're gonna have a notebook full. Trust me. When I get done shows, I'll text Colin and be like, "Do we do that right?"
It's like the Grand Inquisition.
Yeah, you know. Listen, we sit here and talk about New Japan for 2 hours every Sunday. You're gonna find some mistakes, right?
What do you think of this Tomoyuki Oka? I have a comment to make about him. Doesn't he look a bit older?
Oh my God. Yeah. My wife was walking in the living room as I was watching the show. And, she's like, how old are those guys? And I was like, well, actually that one guy in the black trunks, this is his second pro wrestling match. Right? And the other one's probably in his late 40s, 50s. Right. So, yeah, he does have a very – he looks old.
He almost has, like, that Doc Gallows effect.
What?
You know what I mean?
What, he's swinging his cock around?
No, he's not swinging his cock around, but he has that older-looking face, even though he's probably a very young man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's probably had a very hard life, it seems like, getting dojo duties. It's hard for me to sit here and critique a guy's second pro wrestling match. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he's had matches where in the dojo and he's, you know, worked on things. But in front of a crowd, a Corrigan Hall crowd, it's kind of hard for me to be like, well, he did this well and he didn't do this well. And it's a second goddamn match, right? How am I, you know?
Yuji Nagata really gave him a lot of himself, though, I thought.
I thought so. I would agree with that. And I think that's a good thing. It showed his fire. I mean, listen, again, I hate to harp on it, but second goddamn match, he's not going to do too much. But even then, you know, what he did was fine and nothing embarrassing. And, Yeah, he did get a lot. It's not like he's hitting every move under the sun. You know, he's not hitting a fucking frog splash, you know, in a a missile dropkick. But wait a minute, did he? He may have hit a missile dropkick. No, he didn't do anything around the top rope. He was fine. He was fine. And again, if you're going to have your second pro wrestling match, get in the ring with Yuji Nagata, right? And you might learn something or two.
Tomoyuki Oka is only 25 years old. Can you believe that?
No.
He's younger than I am.
Yeah. Yeah. And he looks like at least twice your age.
Yeah.
He looks twice my age. but, you know, he has, from what I understand, a very solid wrestling background, an MMA, MMA training, MMA background. Yep. So, I mean, that's what they kind of focused on. You know what I mean? They kind of focused on his strengths, his background. To give him comfortability in the ring, because I'm sure he was nervous as all get out. And again, it's his second fucking match. So I'm not going to rate it. I'm not going to grade it. But I think he did well for his second pro wrestling match.
Agreed.
I'll say second pro wrestling match 700 times.
I noticed that. But yeah, not much more I can say about it. Yuji Nagata, of course, picking up the win with one of his Nagata locks. And there you go. Fine little grizzled veteran versus young lion opener.
Yep.
And we will look forward to seeing more from Tomoyuki Oka. I have a hard time saying that name.
You'll get it.
In the future. Yeah, eventually. As time goes on, as I start to see him more, it'll start to roll off the tip of my tongue like Jushin Thunder Liger, who happens to be in this next match. This was a six-man tag, so we have Liger, Tiger Mask 4, and Yoshitatsu taking on David Finlay, Hinare, and Kawato. Damon, I have got a brilliant idea.
I love it. I love your brilliant idea.
For Yoshitatsu's gimmick.
No.
This is going to have him selling T-shirts in 2017. Okay, so you know how he has this whole Bullet Club Hunter gimmick? So he can keep the whole Triple H stick, but he should change his name to the Young Lion Barrier, and he'll come out with a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
He'll still do the whole Triple H thing, everything, the whole bit, the move set, the blowing of the water, and he will just strongman Young Lion after Young Lion, and then after he hits the pedigree at the end and wins, he can get a mound of dirt and he can put it on their face with the shovel. He's the Young Lion Barrier. What do you think?
I think you got a winner, Colin.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and what he could do is he could spearhead. He could be like the commissioner of New Japan, California.
Right. There you go. He can rent it. He can do his own little vanity project in the States.
Yeah, see? We got it made.
Yeah.
We got it made in the shade. He'll marry Kidani's wife.
Right.
Or marry his daughter.
Right. Great. See, I knew you'd
I'm on board.
Take this
That's
idea.
That's better than what we see now.
Yeah, the Young Lion Barrier.
I think this is good stuff. I think you got yourself a winner, Colin. Well, look, here's a match.
Here is a match, indeed. Right? What can we say about this match that is insightful?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Hinare was good. I liked Hinare, right?
Yeah.
What was it? Pedigree finish?
Yep, pedigree finish on Hinare. Yoshitatsu picking up the win. One observation. The crowd didn't seem to hate on Yoshitatsu as much as normal. He did get a little bit of a warm reaction, so to speak. Nothing huge, but I don't know. I guess I was kind of surprised that they took to him, that they were as receptive to him as they were.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, I hate to be completely just like, on this match, but it was just, you know, for me, he does nothing. And he drags down matches like, I just don't want to see him.
And by the way, this match was changed. I apologize. It was actually
a
tag
changed.
With Tiger Mask, Yoshitatsu, Liger and Hanari. I was reading off of the original match lineup, so my apologies for that, folks.
That's all right. There's our mistake. We'll get lambasted for that.
Oh, I can't wait.
You know what's coming. Look, no, who cares? Look, the match was a match. It was fine. What do you expect? Well, how can listen? What do you want us to do? Right? Turn water to wine? How are we going to make this match sound interesting? It's not interesting. It's there. Great. Move on.
Do you want to see another Jushin Liger and Tiger Mask feud in 2017?
I think it smells like that's where we're going, doesn't it?
Didn't it look like it?
Yeah, it did. And that's exactly what I thought. We're doing this again? Like, wouldn't it be cool if, like, I don't know, something different? how many times can we see Tiger Mask, Jushin Liger?
I want to see both of these guys. Well, mainly Liger. Like, let's see Liger take on Ospreay.
Ricochet.
You know, a lot of the up and coming great juniors that New Japan currently has. Like, to me, that's a hell of a lot more interesting than seeing another grizzled old man match between these two.
It's because we've seen it at 200. We've seen them, you know, be partners, and then we've seen them piss each other off, and now we're going to fight. It's just like, hey, guys, Jesus Christ, do we have to keep this storyline going for 300 years? Enough.
Yeah, pretty soon we're going to see Tiger Mask draw Liger like one of his French girls.
I mean, God, it's just enough is enough is enough. Yeah, I did notice that too. All right, let's move on, please. Enough.
All righty, next match. Well, I don't know. Well,
wait, you know, can I, before we move on?
Sure.
Where was David Finlay in this?
Where was David Finlay in
well,
this?
Well, wasn't originally he was supposed to be in, and he got hurt, and it's a
right. Him and Kawato were supposed to be in.
Okay, so that's pretty significant news in the sense that Finlay is hurt. It's a shoulder. It's a laborum. How do you pronounce that? Laborum? Torn laborum? Laborum? You know what I mean. And he's going to be out for a significant amount of time.
That's sad news.
That is sad news. That's why when you mentioned, oh, I'm reading the card, but I got changed. That's why, because Finlay was hurt. And they announced it before the show. That he was hurt, and then they read off the lineup, the new lineup at the show. But yeah, that's. I mean, when I say significant injury, if what I'm reading is correct, and surgery is involved, I mean, we're talking, you know, well, you know, you know, like the Cena's and I think it's Finn Balor.
Yeah, Finn Balor.
So. And we know how long those guys were out. And
well, unless you're Cena, you can just recover in about a week. And
well, look, you know, the guy has some recuperative powers. So what are you saying? David Finlay's in the Rumble? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Show up?
I was going to say Cena has some good scripts from doctors.
Yeah. Well, listen, the recuperative powers are amazing and science as well. So, yeah, but no, he is injured, and if it's surgery, and if it is that specific injury that I'm referring to that I can't pronounce, he's going to be out a significant amount of time, which hurts his growth because again,
he's come a long way. I mean, he was a title holder in New Japan this year.
That is correct. So again, I think everybody was looking forward to seeing new and fresh and exciting things out of David Finlay. An injury like that, and the amount of time that he'll be out is. That hurts. That really does kind of suck. So wishing David Finlay all the best in recuperating. Hopefully he gets some of that Cena power and gets back quickly.
All right. Next match, we have the team of Ghetto, Jado, and Yoshihashi taking on El Desperado, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Takashi Iizuka. Damon,
go ahead.
I think that this is... This is really what most people hate about Suzuki Goon.
Yep.
In a nutshell.
Yeah. Listen, I said, you know, the excitement that everybody had for Suzuki, Minoru Suzuki, strolling back into the promotion from his 2-year Noah jaunt. You got to take the good with the bad. This is the bad.
How about Izuka going after Nogami, tearing his shirt off?
Yeah, let's go back to the future, right? And here's the thing. The poor guy fucking has his shirt ripped off. And he was sitting there for calling the whole match with just a tie on. Can somebody just give him a hoodie? Can somebody let him borrow a t-shirt or something? The guy's sitting there shivering, wearing a tie with his nipples exposed. A shawl, right, something. But later in the show, it did prove to be significant with Yuji Nagata coming out and giving him his favorite pro wrestler, giving him another Yuji Nagata t-shirt. So that I guess that made sense that his hero came out and gave him another t-shirt and saved the day. But nobody could give him a fucking shirt. I felt terrible for the guy. And here's another thing. All the young lions holding back the crowd. Right, as he's getting mauled and physically accosted, nobody helped him. Nobody helped the poor guy. Like, what the fuck, poor guy.
Well, I mean, Izuka is sort of like a wild, deranged beast of sorts. Like, I don't know if I'd want to get near that guy myself.
He is intimidating, isn't he? And like, I got to be honest, I'd be running for the hills too.
Run to the hills. Run for you. All right.
All right,
the number of the beast, by the way. That was 3. The album.
Oh, I thought you meant number of beasts. It's like you're asking me to do that. Fun fact. Want to hear a fun fact?
I love fun facts.
Izuka, I saw on a Joel Goodhart show back in the So before ECW and before Eastern Championship Wrestling, there was TWA, right? So Joel Goodhart ran shows in Philadelphia. Joel Goodhart was like a local lawyer, I'm going to say, right? Mm-hmm. And he would run wrestling shows. Well, first he had a wrestling radio show in the Philadelphia market called Wrestling Radio. And it would be on like Sunday mornings at like 9 o'clock in the morning, right? On the local sports talk station. And then he got into running shows, right? And he would bring in like Kerry Von Erich and Jerry Lawler and Buddy Landell. And he would just bring in guys that you would never see. And he would have like these incredible fucking shows, right? At the time. This was like, what was this? This is probably like late 80s, early 90s, right? So Todd Gordon got involved, right? With these shows. And then Goodhart would stop running shows. He had a show and it was like a Saturday morning the radio show got moved to. So he's doing this radio show and he's doing the entire show and there was a show that night. And he literally, the last thing he says is, oh, by the way, this is our last radio show and tonight's show is canceled. Bye! Right? And everybody's like, what? So Todd Gordon got involved.
Imagine if we did that.
I know. But trust me, at the end of this show, it might happen. And then Todd Gordon and Paulie, and then we went from Eastern to. So that's your lineage. It's your little lineage. But anyway, long story short of is he brought him in, and he was a completely different person. He was like a young lion. So it's just funny seeing him now as this just beast with the claw thing and the.
He's a freak on a leash.
Freak on the Leash, another 80s reference, right?
No, not an 80s reference. That is a 90s reference.
That album was that. Don't tell me. Freak on the Leash. Korn, right?
Yeah, Korn. Can you name the album?
Fuck, no.
Follow the Leader.
Yeah, I'm not a big Korn guy.
I'm not a big Korn guy either, but I do know. I do know that tune, and I do know that the album cover was. A little girl doing hopscotch off of a cliff. Very dark.
A little bit. Jeez Louise. Guys, cheer up. All right.
Fun fact, though, Damon. Appreciate that little... No, I was just saying you're quite the historian.
Yeah, I'm 106 years old, so I got a little bit of history behind me.
That's right. You found that... you did find the fountain of youth, though. You still got that baby face going on.
That's called fat.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But
it helps fill out the wrinkles. All right, that match happened.
How about Tiger Hattori actually taking the initiative and calling for the DQ?
Oh, yeah. Well, Christ, the fucking chair right in front of him. Thank God.
Imagine if he didn't.
Well, I mean, we saw stuff where, you know, once again, things happening right in front of a referee and they don't call for the DQ. But, you know, again, the you're going to take the good with the bad. And here's the thing. For what this match did, I mean, you had, you know, B-level Chaos versus B-level Suzuki-gun. It did reestablish the fact that this part of you know, Suzuki-gun is you know, they're unstable and they're wild and you're going to get shenanigans and craziness and all hell's going to break loose when these guys come out. So you did kind of remind people of that, of that element of who they are and what they do. So for that, okay. I'm okay with the fact that this was a DQ. I'm okay with the fact that we had tons of brawling in the crowd, that we, you know, we had so much smoke and mirrors and shenanigans. I'm okay with it. I really am, because again, they're bottom feeder people from each faction going at it in a match to help reestablish these guys as wackadoos. And I think they did a good job of it. I feel bad for Yoshihashi, though, kind of being put in that spot. I thought he kind of elevated his game last year to not have to be that guy, but apparently he's still that guy. So, yeah. Okay. But that's what that match was, and that's what it did. Would I say go out and watch it again? No, because if you watched because if you watched any of the Noah stuff from the past 2 years, we probably have your fill of this type of shenanigan. For people who just need a reminder of who these guys are and what they do and the chaos they cause, and if you want to see a grown man get his shirt ripped off and call a match with just a tie on, this is a match for you.
If I was a booker, as a rib for one show, I would have Suzuki-gun come out and interfere in every single match, just as a rib for one show.
Well, again, go back to watch 2 years of Noah. You'll probably pretty much see the same fucking thing with what you're describing, which killed the fucking promotion. But that's another story for another day.
All right, next match was a tag match featuring the team of Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer taking on Satoshi Kojima and Hiroyoshi Tenzan. Damon.
Speaking of a match that we've seen 700 times.
I really enjoyed this, though. I'm a big Davey Boy Smith Jr. fan. You know, of course, I grew up watching old WWF, and my breed of wrestlers, the guys that I liked, were your Bret Harts and your Owen Harts and your Davey Boy Smiths and your Dynamite Kids and that whole Hart Foundation crew, you know, that style of wrestling. And it's just, you know, refreshing to see Davey Boy Smith Jr. out there kind of carrying the torch for his family. Guy's looking in tremendous shape, by the way, really cut up. Very disrespectful of Lance Archer, especially during flu season, to be spreading his germs, spraying his mist all over the crowd with the water bottle. I wasn't a fan of that, but all in all, as far as this match goes, I enjoyed it. I was glad to see KES back in the mix, getting picking up a win over a legendary tag team here in New Japan and building towards their big tag title match for the New Beginning.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we've seen this match 750,000 times before. But, again, this is a way that KES can help reestablish themselves in the eyes of New Japan fans. Again, if you're not watching the Noah, you may have forgotten of what Davey Boy Smith Jr., who, again, is a much bigger – I mean, listen, Davey Boy Smith turned out to be a rather large gentleman, whether it be through natural means or not is debatable. But, he got very large. And I don't know how Davey Boy Smith Jr. found the genes and to grow as tall as he did.
He's a good 6'5".
Yeah. So, but anyhow, this helped remind people of what KES is all about, and I didn't think the match was bad at all. I thought the match was pretty good.
Was I the only one that marked out for the old heart attack finish?
You're getting all your little references in there. You're getting all your flashbacks and throwbacks.
Hey,
and,
they did it. I mean,
callbacks. Yeah, it was good. Look, for KES and Tenkozy to wrestle again if you were to re, if you were to turn, okay, sing it, Colin. If you
if
were
I
to
could turn back time,
there you go, buddy.
I'm wearing my assless chaps as I sing that.
Fantastic, on a ship full of sailors.
Yep, that's a typical Friday evening for me.
I don't doubt that. Yeah, that's a that video was the worst, wasn't it?
Oh, it's a classic though. That's the
it
thing.
Is a classic. Like, I mean, Cher, what was she? Probably at the time, at least 50, right?
Yeah, but the thing is,
she looked great.
Yeah. Hey.
Looked great.
I wouldn't turn it down.
I mean, listen, I'm you know, for a 50-year-old, you know.
I'd go out on a date with her.
I'd hold her hand. Look, she's, you know, she was, and the video itself was very provocative at the time.
It was.
Because she was wearing next to nothing.
Right.
And then she's still on a battleship, like a cruiser or like an aircraft carrier. And there's all these sailors hooting and hollering. It's crazy.
I've got to go back and watch that now as soon as we're done recording.
I want to put it on now. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's so good.
It really is one of those defining 80s moments, you know?
If you're a younger listener who's listening to this right now and you have no idea what we're talking about, do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type in Cher, If I Could Turn Back Time, and just marvel at what
was presented to you in the 80s.
those were the days, Damon. I'll tell you what.
You're telling me. You're telling me, brother.
Also, I wanted to say I wasn't watching the Noah because I was too busy watching the Moses. So.
I was busy watching the Israelites.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So KES,
picking up the win.
Picking up the win. Good match. It was a good match. And again, it helped remind people of who KES is against an established tag team that they already had a history in. So it's like riding a bike for these two teams. And they pulled it off once again. Not bad. I mean, again, not a five-star classic by any stretch, but it served the purpose. Just like this, just like a Road to show should, right?
Right.
This is cookie cutter. Paint by numbers, Road to show that did everything that it needed to do to get everyone juiced up for these new beginning shows. So, yeah, good job.
And great segue there, Damon. Speaking of juiced up, this next match featured the team of Togi Makabe, Tomoaki Honma, Juice Robinson, and Kasayori Shibata taking on Will Ospreay, Hiroki Goto, Toru Yano, and Tomohiro Ishii. So here's a match where we are building up to 1, 2, 3 matches for these new beginning shows, and I think that it did a fine job of doing that. Especially, I loved how it started off very, very hot and heavy between Shibata and Ospreay. There, I'm really looking forward to that match.
Yeah, they opened right out of the gate with Ospreay landing in a big kick, and then the corner spots that they always like to do. And look, if you're not excited by the possibilities of a Shibata Ospreay one-on-one match, I don't know what to tell you.
That's a Rev Pro fantasy match right there.
Oh, well, listen, we're getting it in a New Japan ring, which to me makes it even more exciting. On a decent sized show in front of a decent audience for the NEVER title, I'm all in. For the NEVER title. For the NEVER title.
Juice and Goto is for the NEVER title.
That's right. I get confused sometimes. I had a Kevin Kelly moment.
Remember when Goto beat Shibata at Wrestle Kingdom? I think you were there.
I think I was there for that. Yeah, that's right.
I remember seeing you a time or two in the crowd.
Yeah. You know, I haven't watched is the and I was going to watch it last night, but I don't know what I was doing otherwise. I wanted to watch that Tiger Mask W match against
Really?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it. Huh. I haven't seen it from the dome.
Okay, well, if you haven't seen it, I guess.
Yeah. What happens at the end?
Happens at the end, Yusei Kota Ibushi's hand.
Oh, right. That's right. That's right.
Because
that's
you're a maniac.
I am. Well, listen, he came to me. He came to me. Let me make that point perfectly clear.
You attract these people somehow.
Listen, he knows where to butter his bread, right?
he knows what the PyroCast is.
He knows the pull we have with the pro wrestling community.
Yeah,
right?
We get the scoops.
Yeah, with the Z. As you know, listen to the beginning of the show. You can see how fucking scoopy we are.
The only scoop I have is a coffee scoop that I use every morning.
That was a terrible joke. That was a, I'm gonna let that one sit.
Well, you have to measure it out.
Well, that's true too. I agree. All right, Shibata Ospreay, we have going on there, right? We also, what else do we have mixed in there? Juice and Goto.
That, I mean, I'll tell you what. You know, you can talk all about Cody Rhodes all you want, but
I don't want to. I don't want to talk. I'm done. I don't want to say a word.
Trust me. I've been getting into not arguments with people online, but just
am I going to have to ban you from Twitter?
No. This was Facebook. This is part of a Facebook group I'm a part of. But this goes along with the reason I bring up Cody Rhodes is Juice Robinson. I think we said it when we did a Wrestle Kingdom review. He was the star of that match.
Yep.
And Juice's stock in New Japan is really rising, and it's coming to a really special period here with him getting arguably, well, not arguably, it is the biggest match of his career in New Japan against Hirooki Goto. And I think that the two, from what I've seen in this six-man tag, I think they're going to work really nicely together. And it's pretty hard to have a good match with a pro, or to have a bad, it's pretty hard to have a bad match with a pro like Hirooki Goto. So this is pretty high on my level of interest for the new beginning.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And I think, that, like I said, what we've seen so far with Goto and Juice, I've been all in on. I think Juice is, look, it's a special moment for him in the sense of, you're right, this is the most important match of his career up until this point, with the Dome being right behind it, right? And a singles match in the Dome and making Cody look as strong as he wound up looking. Look, I'll say look one more time. Look, it's
I'm looking.
Look at it. Look. No, listen, it's a podcast. You can't see anything. Juice is in a big spot, and I think he's going to take full advantage of this. And I think this is going to be a moment where we really see Juice in a new light.
This is where we get like the birthday cake from Juice. I mean, we've gotten the cupcakes before. This is where we might even get like a nice apple pie.
Wow. Hey, did you know that is it Kojima with the apple pie tweet? That's my favorite tweet of all time.
Yeah, it had
the vanilla ice cream. Oh, so good. I mean, how can you not love that guy?
He's the best. He might be one of my favorite wrestlers now, just based on his Twitter account alone.
Yeah. Wow. So, no, we have that coming out of this tag match, right? What else we got coming out of this tag match, Colin? Possibly a Makabe.
Yeah. We've got. But by the way, speaking of Makabe, did you notice the young lady in the audience who had her GBH swag going on? She had the little banner that said GBH. So, you know, there's some GBH fans in the crowd, you know, that are behind Makabe and Honma. That was his
sister.
it had to be a relation of some sort.
All right, you can't possibly. No, yeah, I mean, he's got his fans. Everybody's got their fans, which, you know, is both good and questioning their sanity. No. Look, what do we got? Makabe and Ishii, and, well, that was left over from the tag situation, right? And Honma. Honma got the win here, right?
Yeah, he did with the Kokeshi.
Yeah, who was that on? Well, who was it? Yano. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So maybe we'll see more fun and frivolity between those two tag teams. So again, lots of good stuff. These tag team matches. Again, the tag team matches are here so that we get more excited as we move forward and right along with this new beginning show. They did exactly what they needed to do. I thought this match was solid. I thought this was a solid match.
I agree, and you know, I know that we've seen this match 1,000 times. I mean, probably in 2015 alone. But you got to admit, some of the best moments in this match are when Ishii and Makabe are in the ring together. Because as much as that has been done to death, the guys just have a great chemistry together. What can I say?
I enjoy it. I mean, everybody in this match, even when they broke off and weren't with their respective partners, you know, in crime and in wrestling, you know, they're all used to each other and they're all comfortable with each other. And you're right, they've seen each other 250,000 times in these tag matches, but there were little sprinkles of newness. Most you know, front and center was Shibata and Ospreay, but there's familiarity. I can't say that word.
Familiarity.
That's what I want to say. There's that, and there's new and freshness all at the same time, which makes it exciting to me. So, yes, I guess front and center is Shibata and Ospreay, but you also had those secondary stories that are being told with the Juice and the Goto, which to me is almost as equally as exciting. And then you had the tag stuff that, you know, is there. And
the Juice and the Goto is kind of like the tortoise and the hare.
Juice
is the tortoise.
I don't think anybody's super excited for Juice is the tortoise, huh?
Yeah. Slow, you know, just slowly creeping, you know, taking his time.
Okay.
Taking
I
his
like
time.
This.
You get it?
I get it now. I'm down with this. And then you got your Ishii and Yano, which, how you feeling? How you feeling with Ishii Yano so far?
Not good.
Not good? No?
No. The problem is Ishii is, God, he's one of my top five favorite wrestlers in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and he to put him in a tag team with, you know, goofy Yano, God bless him.
Hey, he let me hold the belts.
I know Yano's a cool guy, but to me Ishii should be doing much bigger things. But who knows, maybe this is the right place for him to be.
In what regard? Why would you say something along those lines? Because I have an idea, and I'm in a similar camp. Why don't I share mine first?
Yeah, go ahead, because maybe it's the same as mine.
I really feel like that in the past 3 years, probably even 4 years, Ishii's been a guy that has been nonstop balls to the wall. And there's only so much gas the guy fucking has in his tank.
His amps go to 11.
His amps go to 11. That is a perfect analogy. Guy's out of gas. He's you know, there's only so much the body can take.
Right.
So to conserve Ishii, similar to the way that we talk about Tanahashi in the past, right? Where, listen, let's give him the fucking tag belts. Let him take it easy a little bit, as much as he possibly can, being that who he is and how he wrestles and the style that he is. Let's give him a small break. Stick him in a tag team situation. And, you know, I don't want to say let him take off for a couple of months with these belts, but let him take off for a couple of months with these belts, and then he can kind of recharge his batteries. That's my theory and thought process with Ishii. He's given us all that he could possibly fucking give us for 3-4 years, probably even more. Let's give him the belts. Let's let him get mixed up with Yano so he can take a little bit of the pressure off of him, and then he can preserve his career and his life for all of us to enjoy. Thoughts?
Those are basically my thoughts, but I just wanted to add a little something. Damon, I don't know if you remember, but in 2016, Ishii had a little match with Okada that may or may not have gotten 5 snowflakes. May or may not have been my match of the year. I don't want to jump ahead to our new beginning predictions, but how interesting would it be if, okay, so let's say Yano and Ishii drop the tag titles here. Let's say Okada retains. Ishii comes out at the end of the Suzuki match and says, hey, look, I beat you. I kicked your ass in the G1, and I've been waiting a long time to cash in on this title shot.
I would love that. I would fucking love that.
Because they can't let that go. I mean, that was one of the standout matches of the that was one of the standout matches of the year, in my opinion. And to for them to let that go, for Ishii to just kick the champion's ass like that, that's something that they have to pick up again in 2017. So those are my thoughts. That's my little bit of fantasy booking of what I would like to see.
What are the possibilities, building off of what you just said? What are the possibilities of Ishii joining Suzuki-gun?
Ishii joining Suzuki-gun?
And fucking over Okada.
That doesn't make sense for the character of Ishii, because I feel that he's a very proud guy.
Well, I mean, again, proud guy. But, you know, he's like, look, you're fucking me over here. I beat you. Where's my belt? Where's my title shot?
Interesting. Interesting. I never thought of that, but...
Again, hey, I'm spitballing.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. But I agree with you, Colin, that we are eagerly anticipating some type of follow-up to this. So, yeah, I'm down for that. I'm down 100% for that. I think everybody is.
All right, semi-main event of this evening was a 10-man tag featuring the team of Los Ingobernables de Japón taking on Hiroshi Tanahashi, Michael Elgin, Manabu Nakanishi, Kushida, and Ryusuke Taguchi. Couple points about the intro for the ladder team. Number one, notice they're coming out the Big Mike's entrance. And you can say that that's because Elgin has the top spot at one of the New Beginning shows, but I think it's because nobody wants to hear that god-awful Go Ace theme. I mean...
I think you're right.
That's why they came
out
to Elgin's music.
I think you're right on both parts. One, we are... You know, we're making Mike get the spotlight that he deserves. Hey, did you know what? That show sold out with Elgin and Naito on top.
I wasn't aware
sold
of that.
Sold out. Yes, that is correct.
That's great news.
That is awesome news. Now, again, Naito is a you know, big part of that, right? I don't think anybody's going to dispute that. But to be on top, Michael Elgin... He could put that on his resume as well. That building is sold out, kids, for Naito Elgin.
So you know they're going to have their working boots on for that match.
You know what? You knew that they were regardless.
Sure.
I don't care if three people were in that building, just who they are.
But now
there's some added excitement and some added fire under both of those guys' belts. So good for them. Good, sold out. Good job by them. And this match I enjoyed a lot. I did enjoy this match a lot. Let me take that back. I like this match a lot until, guess what, Colin? The finish.
How did I know?
Did
you at least like Taguchi's little evil getup?
That was. Listen, there's Taguchi. Is a fucking wise ass, and I love it. Like he can bust some fucking balls, and that is great stuff. You got a LOL moment out of good old Damon with the Halloween store sickle and the green robe. That was great.
Before we talk about this horrible finish, can I tell you what one of my main takeaways from this match was?
Yes, please.
I think that a Taguchi versus Takahashi match could be really blow away, assuming we get best of the Super Juniors Taguchi. I mean, from what I saw, of course, Taguchi was mainly doing his comedy shtick during this match, but I just started thinking, like, man, if we saw that 2016 Best of the Super Juniors Taguchi against Takahashi, that could be a really fucking good match.
Yeah, we sit here all the time, and we go down this roster, and every time we say, you know, when the spotlight is on them and it's time to shine, there's not a guy on that roster who can't produce, right? And we forget sometimes during the calendar year because of the roles that they play that, oh, yeah. You know, I mean, look at Nakanishi, right? I mean, we've made a career out of this podcast laying the boots to him sometimes. And then he pulls out a nice little humdinger, right? There's not a guy on that roster who can't do that in my eyes. I mean, I would really be hard-pressed, and I'd really have to be in a real negative fucking mood to go through and be like, oh, they just absolutely stink and it's not going to happen. Well, maybe. All right, let me lay this one out for you.
Go ahead.
I think we've done this before, but we're going to do it again. I'm just going to give you two names.
Okay.
I'm looking for four flakes or above, Colin.
All right.
Bone Soldier. Speaking of Bone Soldier, I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, where the hell is that guy?
Where's that Bone Soldier at? Bone Soldier. four snowflakes. Can it happen?
No, no chance in hell.
No chance in hell.
No chance.
Seriously?
Bone Soldier?
Bone Soldier.
A four snowflake match?
Can it happen?
How? I mean, he...
Listen.
God, even if he was in there with... Actually, maybe... Let me rethink that. I was going to say, if you put him in there in like a singles match with an Ishii or an Okada...
Omega.
An Omega. Although, I think if Omega was in there, it would be funny guy Omega against Bone Soldier. But I suppose it's possible, you know, if you put him in there with wrestlers of those caliber. So, all right. Yeah.
Can Bone Soldier be carried?
Yes, exactly.
To a four-star match.
He can be carried because, you know, guys like Okada and Ishii could have a great match with a broomstick and for, with me, or a broomstick, and for all intents and purposes.
One of the same.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm trying to think of anybody else that's on that roster that you couldn't have that. I mean, minus a Young Lion, right? Just because they just don't have the ring experience, right?
Right.
They don't count. Yoshitatsu, I think so, right?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yoshitatsu, you know, as much as we give him shit, the guy does try.
Right. I mean, who else? You know, Nakanishi?
Hey, in my opinion, we saw a four-star match against him and Nagata.
Right. If you loaded him up with pain pills, right? And gave him a Red Bull, right. I think it could happen, right?
Oh, yeah.
So again, I think the roster top to bottom is one of the best, if not the best, arguably. And I think that everybody on that roster has the possibility of doing it. I mean, even guys like a Hangman Page.
Hangman Page is no slouch.
I think he could do it, right? I'm like Fale. Fale could have a great match, right?
Hey, we've seen him have plenty of great matches against the likes of Tanahashi, Okada.
So again, I mean, there is a common denominator in Tanahashi and Okada. You know, you're talking about some all-time legendary great workers. I think there's real. I don't think there's anybody that's so terrible that they couldn't be carried to a fucking. You know, they're not fucking Braun Strowman. All right, let's put it that way.
No, right? Who may or may not be in one of the main events of WrestleMania.
Right. Well, I mean, God Almighty.
I'll be there, Damon. I know you're jealous.
I'm zero jealous. I know you're gonna have a great time, but no desire.
I don't know. It'd have to be pretty high.
Have fun.
Joking.
So that's that. So, Taguchi, doing the comedy, which was hilarious. I thought the match was very good. I thought Michael Elgin looked great. I thought Michael Elgin looked great. I think Naito, top notch. How can you not be excited for this match coming up?
You know what I love about Naito? Like, when he does his moves, you know, his big spots, he has that like smirk on after he does them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just like he's just kind of like laughing.
He's a fucking prick.
You're right. Exactly. I love that. He does that better than anybody else.
Yeah. I mean, top to bottom, Los Ingobernables is pretty great. So yeah, everything was solid, guys, up until that fucking finish where
So Nakanishi has Sonata up for the big torture rack, the total package torture rack. And then Bushi sprays the mist, which also gets in Sonata's face a little
bit.
Really
did, yeah. How come Sonata didn't crawl around on the ground and be like, ah, my fucking eyes?
It doesn't affect him. Well, Sonata is impervious to it.
Trump's mist, right? Two-thirds of the people in that match had fucking missed on them, right? The referee saw none of it, right?
But he did. Like, afterwards, he was thoroughly examining Nakanishi.
Right. I harp on it all the time, and I feel like I beat the dead horse with the mist. It's just one of those things that it just happens, you know? It's just one of those New Japan things that happen, and it's happened for years. It's not like it just recently happened. It's one of those things. It's pro wrestling, kids. I should get over it. But I enjoyed the match up until that point. I really did. To me, there was no reason why somebody couldn't have taken a clean pinfall in that match.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Would it have killed Nakanishi to just tap out to the skull end you know, with, right. without being drenched.
Blinded. Yeah, drenched is a great word. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, am I being nitpicky? Maybe, but it's just one of those. It's my pet peeve. It's something I'll take to the grave. I don't like it. I think it's shit. And you're right. Would it have hurt anybody to just take a fucking clean pinfall? No. The match was good, though. I enjoyed the match a lot.
Yeah, very good match. Very good match. Did a good job at building up all of the New Beginning matches. So there you go.
That's all we asked. That's all we ask of it.
And we arrive at our main event of the evening with the team of Minoru Suzuki, Taka Michinoku, and our favorite, Tai Chi, taking on Kazuchika Okada, Rocky Romero, and Beretta. Damon, do you ever sit back when you're watching these matches and think to yourself, I can't believe I'm still watching Taka Michinoku?
Yeah, he's been around the block,
that
right?
That guy, he was in the first Super J Cup, you know. He's been in WWF. I mean, he's been around the block, and sometimes I'm just like, I can't believe I'm still watching this guy wrestle.
Yeah, Michinoku Pro. Yeah, I mean, look, it's good for him. I mean,
yeah.
he's been able to stay relevant,
right?
Know, and stay in the mix, as we like to say, for all these years. So good on him. I mean, you know, if you were going to just pull random pro wrestling fans in the United States, from a Japanese import perspective,
they would know Taka.
Yeah, I mean, he's one. You know, you'd be surprised. You know, he would probably be in the top five of recognizable faces. Right? So he's got that going for him. And yeah, he's been able to parlay that into where he is now. You know, arguably in one of the more popular factions in Japanese pro wrestling. So he's got a title shot, tag title shot opportunity against Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero, and then away they go. Look, I think for me personally, the idea of a Minoru Suzuki challenge for the IWGP title is really nice.
I was going to say, how pumped are you now after watching this match? I mean,
I don't know if this match necessarily got me more amped. It wasn't. I was amped for it before. I don't think this match made me any more.
Oh, so was I. But I guess from my perspective, since I wasn't watching a ton of Noah, like I literally haven't seen Minoru Suzuki in 2 years.
Right.
So, you know, when he comes out and he does all the signature spots and he does all of his badassery, you know,
the best theme, best music ever.
Oh, hands down.
Best
hands
music down. Ever. Best entrance music ever. Yeah, he has, look, there are guys that try in this business to have an aura about them to be a badass, right? To be a legitimate ass kicker and to be a guy who could really just fucking tear your head off without even trying and don't succeed. He, and he has the background to back it up, mind you, but he just has an aura of a guy who is just a fucking badass. Like, he's just one of those guys that, like, the facial expressions and the way that he carries himself, he's just fucking good at it. And it's exciting for me because, to me, Okada is the flip side of that. He's the playboy. He's the rainmaker. He's the, you know, the prodigy.
He's the poster boy of New Japan.
Yeah, and rightfully so. And he's got the skills to back it up, mind you. But again, it is a bit of a two sides of the coin here. I'm excited for the match. This match didn't necessarily get me more excited for it. I'll be truthful and honest.
I guess it was just a reminder for me more than anything. Like, oh yeah, Suzuki. I forgot.
yeah, and if that did what it needed to do, then good. Because I think there are a lot of people that are in that boat that may not have followed Suzuki over to Noah and followed those shenanigans. And trust me, there was good stuff. There's plenty of bad stuff. There's plenty of stuff that you were kind of like, oh.
What was that one match that he had at the end of 2015? You were really high on it. It was a really hard-hitting, stiff match for the GHC title.
There are a couple of them. I mean, like him on top, like those big matches are always good.
Yeah.
And some of them bordered on great, right? It's the middle of the card stuff that really was kind of. Look, you know how we bitch and moan and complain about like Los Ingobernables interference and Bullet Club shenanigans. You know how we always do that? You got that tenfold with Suzuki going to Noah. Like it was just, it got to the point where it was just like, oh my fucking God, I can't take it anymore.
It was a Takashi Sugiura match I'm thinking of, by the way.
Okay. Again, anything on top is great. I think I do remember that match. The only reason I remember that match is because I watched it while covering an Eagles game in the press box, and I was going berserker watching this match. Yeah, that was a match where they were literally punching each other in the face, like punching each other as hard as they could in the face. Yeah, You know what, Colin, do us a favor and link to that. You know, tweet that out and Facebook that. That's a match if you haven't seen or watched. Go out of your way to watch.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna tell you to go out of your way and watch that. That was an amazing match. Look, again, this match didn't really do anything for me. I'm going to be truthful. Didn't really do a lot for me to get me amped up for what I was supposed to get amped up for. Probably because, again, maybe it was because I was watching some more Noah than maybe the casual New Japan guy.
I think that has a lot to do with it.
Okay. Then good. Then hopefully that helps. I'm excited.
What do you think of the finish? Tai Chi getting the pin on Rocky Romero with the powerbomb.
Fine. Honestly, I mean, we're setting up to make the champs, open to lose, to give the challengers. And again, I've always been a fan of, make the challengers look as strong as possible going into a title match so that there is some element of, so anybody could win this match. I think that's really the end goal. And for a guy that, people shit on, at least from our perspective, to get the win, maybe helps that, right? Maybe it helps to help connect those dots. So no, I didn't really have a problem with that. And again, we're talking about the junior tag belts here. Did you hear Suzuki? He did an interview. And again, once again, Chris Charlton come through with the translations.
At
again,
Reason JP on Twitter.
That's exactly right. Always a quality follow there. He translated an interview when Suzuki fucking laid the boots to the never six man belts.
Did he?
What did he call them? 10 yen, worth about 10 yen. So good work out of him. Again, it's the junior belt. So them getting the win, if, whatever.
Speaking of the tag belts, just really quick to harken back to that last Omega interview with Dave and Brian. Did you notice what Omega said about the tag division?
Yeah, I did. And it was kind of echoing the same thoughts that we had from earlier podcasts.
I think he's a Purocast listener.
He might be. Hey, you never know. Listen, the fun thing is that we don't know who downloads the show. We don't know who shares it. So who knows? Maybe he's heard once or twice. But I think it's a pretty, at this point in the game, it's a pretty established and shared opinion that, the tag belts, the talent is really was with the juniors at the time. And mix it up. There's really no need to have the junior line in the sand, especially when it came to the tag division. The heavyweights were, the dirt worst. and mix them up. Mix it up. Put them all together.
That's right. Make it interesting.
And he felt the same way. So glad that we should. Great wrestling minds.
Think alike. There you have it, though, folks. That is your Road to the New Beginning show from Corkin. Fine show, ending with Suzuki cutting a promo to end out the show. Suzuki-gun on top as we head into the New Beginning in Sapporo. So, Damon, what do you say we close out today's show by going over that card, giving a little preview?
That sounds like a wonderful idea. I have a very special appointment I have to get to, so let's speak on that card, and then we'll wrap it up in a nice little bow, and then we'll go on our way.
All right, very good. So let's start from top to bottom. First match, Kushida and Koatu taking on Kanemaru and El Desperado. Man, Kushida opening up the show here.
Well, somebody's got to. It's a nice fiery opening, right? It's a good a hot, fast-paced, junior-y style to get everybody into the show. So, yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing, too. I wouldn't necessarily go out and bury somebody just because they're opening a show. It doesn't necessarily mean they're a bottom feeder. So again, somebody's got to. I know this is a very North American thought, and not even a North American thought, because New Japan does this a lot too. But, you know, open up with the juniors, open up with some spark and some fresh legs, and get everybody involved and excited. So my excitement level? 4 or 5.
4 or 5, okay.
4 or 5. You know, it's going to be what it's going to be, but I think it'll be a sprint, a nice little 5 to 7 minute sprint, and I think it'll be enjoyable. Why not?
And of course, the young lion Kanemaru will be taking the fall here, right?
Fuck you.
Next match: Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, and Yuji Nagata.
Can I explain that for a minute?
Absolutely.
So at the Dash, right?
Right.
Again, I had a few beers, right? And I'm not going to put the alcohol on the blame here because, you know, it is what it is. But somebody had said Young Lion, and again, maybe I could have sworn that one of the Young Lions was involved in the shenanigans. Now, maybe it was just them getting their ass kicked, but there were a lot of people in that ring.
Right. It was kind of a cluster.
Right, I didn't think that one was different from the other. I thought there was a young lion that joined them, Suzuki-gun. I'll tell you quick. So at the when Dragon Lee ran out, half the crowd thought it was fucking Bushi.
Yeah, I did.
Until finally, it was like, oh no, that's Dragon Lee. So all right, listen, I thought that carried over into the Suzuki-gun stuff. So my apologies, my bad. I fucked up. What do you learn from? And listen, you listen to the beginning of the show. Right? I gave you a 30-minute or 30-second montage of me fucking up. So there you go. All right, but that was just an opinion, mind you. So, all right, very good. Move on.
Don't you love how this show is episodic? By the way, it touches on points from the week prior and the week prior. You know, we like to keep it consistent and harken back to the dumb shit that both of us have said. So.
But listen, at the time, it's not dumb shit. I didn't think it was dumb shit. Did you think it was dumb shit?
No.
I mean, honestly, because not for nothing, I convinced you by the...
Yeah, I went right along with that. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. You're right, Damon.
And it wasn't like we sat here before the show and we're like, all right, you take this opinion and I'll take this opinion and then we'll work this.
This is all work.
Yeah, right, the work thing. It's given the information I had on that Sunday, I really felt that. The next week, I felt that. Maybe not as super duper strongly, but I felt that. I'll tell you when the tide turned. You know when the tide turned for me? It wasn't one. It was Pro Wrestling Tees sent out an email.
Yeah. Right,
saying, hey, if Kenny Omega leaves for the WWF, these shirts are going to be gone. And I was like, all right. And then when it was like, Dave was like, well, yeah, Kenny Omega is going to be on our show to make an announcement. He's not going to make an announcement about WWE, right?
I'm showing up at the Rumble, right, and I thought I'd come here to announce it first.
Yeah, somehow I think there's going to be a photo op with Uncle Paul standing in a ring with him and Kenny Omega to make that announcement. So, yeah, so that's when it kind of things started unraveling in my mind that Kenny was sticking around. So there you go. All right, enough of that. Let's get back to on course here.
Next match, Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Kojima, and Nagata taking on Yoshitatsu, David Finlay, and Hinari.
Well, not David Finlay.
Oh, yeah, not David Finlay. You know what? I'm not sure who's taking his place, actually.
Tiger Mask W.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that matches. Honestly, I don't know how the whole undercard's going to work out. They might flip-flop things all around.
That is very true. This undercard could change very drastically, but I'm just reading what we have right now.
So we'll put an asterisk with the old card subject to change. We know Finley's not going to be in this match. So what else have we got? What is this match?
Tenzan, Kojima, Nagata, Yoshitatsu, Hinari. It was supposed to be Finley.
Okay. So, well, I mean, we could plug somebody else in that role, not really disrupt the match, the show too much.
We could just turn it into a regular tag, maybe move some other guys around. Who knows?
Yeah, give somebody else a show. Who knows? But who knows how that's going to pan out? But I think we all know which side is taking the win here, right? Right.
You're... That is right.
So
your dads.
The dads. The dads will get the win, as they should. And to say that I'm super excited for it, no, of course not. Why would you? But, you know, it'll be I'm three. Probably all my excitement of, you know, no, three. All right.
All right.
That's my preview for that. Who knows what this match is going to turn out to be. But even I don't care who they stick in that role. I don't think it's going to be that much of a difference.
I think it's going to be 4¾ stars.
Go get them, big guy. 4¾. 6¼.
All right.
My Australian friends have that copywritten. I can't use that.
Shibata, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Tiger Mask taking on Will Ospreay, Jado, and Ghetto.
Okay. Well, again.
Building up towards that Shibata Ospreay match.
There you go. That's what we're doing here. And then the other, Ligers and the, was it Liger Tiger Mask and Shibata?
Yeah. You know what? I say Ospreay pins Tiger Mask. How about that?
Okay. I was going to, yeah. I mean, I think, I think Ospreay will get a win just because.
He's the one who needs it here.
Yeah. He needs to look strong. So what? I think he'll pin Tiger Mask. How about that?
There you go.
All right.
Yoshihashi versus Iizuka.
Wow. Yoshihashi, what the fuck did he do to deserve this?
I don't know. He had a good year, and this is what he gets.
I know. Poor fucking guy. He's going to get mauled.
Yeah, he's going to get his face bitten off.
He's going to get the claw, that iron spiky claw thing right in the mush. What the fuck did he do to deserve this? Oh,
I don't know. You think he has any chance here?
No. I and the match is going to suck the boot.
Yeah. Look, Iizuka is not a
This is a singles match, Colin?
This is currently listed as a singles match. Yeah.
What the fuck are they thinking? Oh, lordy Lou, poor Yoshihashi. How is he going to fucking salvage this match? Watch it be great.
Yeah, watch it be like Yoshihashi versus Omega from the G1.
I'm going to be truthful. I don't know how he walks out of this with a win. I don't think he does. Does he walk out? Does Yoshihashi walk out of this with a win?
I'm going to say no.
Maybe neither.
Just based on... Suzuki Goon, that I think they're really putting them at the forefront to be the top heel faction here as Bullet Club kind of takes a back seat, takes a little break. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Iizuka.
Phew. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. Wow. My head's spinning on this one. Fucking poor Yoshihashi. Oof. All right. You know what? My excitement level is probably higher than it should be just because I want to see how they get through this. It's going to be a big fucking schmoz. You're going to have this guy running around the ringside, tearing up furniture and chasing announcers and literally being the Japanese George Steele. minus eating a turnbuckle.
By the way, you know what I find really interesting? This is kind of cool. Side note. Do you know that you can find all of the New Japan Pro Wrestling cards on Fox Sports?
What do you mean?
Like on their website, foxsports.com?
Yeah. Right.
They list all the New Japan show cards on there now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good thing,
I guess.
It's
kind of cool, right?
Yeah. You can get all your NASCAR information and New Japan information.
Yeah.
All right. Good for them. Colin, I hate to say this, but I'm somewhat interested in this. I'm going to give it a 5.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to go with a 5 as well. Let's see what happens here. Let's see what happens.
I'm kind of curious. It's almost like a car crash. It's like, you know, the rubberneck.
I think it's going to end in a DQ.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right on that one.
Okay, next match here to right before intermission, we've got Michael.
Wouldn't it be great if it was a fucking Yoshihashi just hit like a gusher? Just bled like fucking like Hiroshi Hase. Just decided he was going to just bleed like a pig. That would be interesting. And like, yeah, I mean, we really got him over as a monster.
That would be something.
All right. Maybe I'm just pipe dreaming. All right.
Michael Elgin, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Manabu Nakanishi, Ryusuke Taguchi, and Dragon Lee taking on LIJ.
Again, I think it'll be fine. It'll be good. LIJ's, you know, we've seen it enough times that they probably have this worked out to a T. We're building toward Naito Elgin. I think that's the team that'll get the win. I think there'll be some revenge on the Mist. And away we go. I can't say I'm super excited for it. We've seen it before, but I think it'll be a good match. So
who's taking the fall here?
Bushi.
Bushi's taking the fall. Okay, so sure. Big Mike pins Bushi?
Sure. Why not?
All right.
Let's go that route.
I was going to say... I was going to say that Takahashi pins Taguchi.
I don't know. I kind of just, maybe. I just think that, again, logic would say let's make Big Mike strong. And
he is strong.
Listen, that whole team. Look at that team. That team's a...
I meant in the literal sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. like him, Nakanishi. They can lift some weights, right?
Yeah. They sure can.
Tanahashi's been known to pump some iron.
Hey, Big Mike could probably deadlift you, Damon, and that's,
you know.
Hey, fuck. Come on. Once an episode, I have to throw in a little little jab there. I apologize. Anyway.
Hurts me. All right, go ahead.
Now we reach the top of the card here for the IWGP Junior Tag Team titles, Rocky Romero and Beretta taking on Taichi and Taka Michinoku. What are the chances of Taichi and Taka taking
good
the straps?
I think high.
Yeah, I think high too, and that might speak to the main event, and we'll get there in a second. But
I think there's a very good chance, and I would say it's probably better than 60% that we do see that.
Yeah.
I think the match can be good. I'm not going to lie. I think it has the possibility of being pretty good. Again, we're hoping for not a lot of shenanigans, which there's absolutely no guarantee that's going to be happening. They don't need smoke and mirrors. They don't need too much smoke and mirrors, right? I think it'll be good. I do. I think it'll be good. My fingers are crossed that the shenanigans are kept to a minimum. But I think it'll be good. You don't think it'll be good?
Yeah, no. I think it could be good as much as we like to rag on Tai Chi and to a lesser extent Taka Michinoku. Look, they're in the ring there with a great tag team, Rocky Romero and Beretta. This does have potential. This could surprise me.
I think it'll surprise a lot of people. How about that? Again, I think I'm being positive Damon today.
Positive,
right?
Damon. I like it for a change.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Get it while you can. doesn't last long.
No, it was like water.
Next week when I fucking bury this match, I'm gonna say it has the possibility of being good. Now listen, again, shenanigans, very high possibility. I got to get past the fact that I can't stand a quarter of this match, the participants, right? Not my favorite pro wrestler. Even with that said, I think it has a chance. I got to be honest with you too. I sat here and I said, you know, I want shenanigans to be kept at a minimum. You know, this is a perfect match where smoke and mirrors and a lot of shit going on and a lot of distractions and mic stands and some miming, you know, could go a long way, right? Like a chaotic title change and a chaotic match where a lot of shit's going on might just be what the doctor ordered with this match.
Well, miming always goes a long way. Mimes are very underrated.
You like a mime?
Yeah.
All right. With that being said, I can't say that I'm overly excited for this.
No, I think I'm more excited for the Yoshihashi Iizuka match.
Me too. Yeah, me too. Me too. So I'm going to say my excitement level is about a 4.
All right.
As of right now. But I'm going to say a 4 with an anticipation and a hopefulness that we talk about this with high marks come next week.
A 4 with an asterisk.
A 4 with an asterisk.
All right. Very good. For the NEVER Openweight title, Hirooki Goto defending against the challenger, Mr. Juice Robinson.
Colin, I'm going to be truthful. I'm about an 8 or a 9.
Yeah, same. Same.
I think that this could be one of those career-defining moments for Juice. And that has me so excited. Like, that has me really, really looking forward to this match. This is one of those – this can be one of those moments for a guy's career. And how many times can you say that? Like, how many times can you really hone in on one specific moment and one specific match for a guy where it could – I don't want to say it could make or break, but a great performance by Juice can do wonders for his stock.
I think it says a lot about their level of trust in him now and how they feel about him. And just think about when he first debuted in New Japan, you know, and we first started reviewing his matches.
Yeah.
Come on, this guy's come a long, long way.
Well, again, here's where all the hard work, here's where all that... All the whisking and all the dishwashing, this is where it all pays off. Right, exactly. And here's the thing, you know, we're on board now, but we weren't in the beginning.
No.
I'll be the first to admit we were not on board. Why? We didn't have the patience. But here's where it all comes to an end. Not to an end, but to all the hard work. Here's the results of that. A big spotlight match on a big show against an opponent that is world class for okay, listen, it's not the fucking heavyweight title and it's not the Intercontinental, but it's an important belt in the promotion. Big spotlight, singles match, spotlight shining. This is a big deal. This is a big deal for not only Juice, but for the company too, because the company put in a lot of You're right. They put in a lot of faith and they were patient, and they're looking for a payoff too, right? Let's be truthful. They're hoping they're putting some chips on Juice to do well here too. So it's an important time and it's an important match and it's a career defining match. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm happy for the guy. I'm happy he's getting the chance. Personally, I think he'll succeed. I think this will be. You know, we talk about how Kenny Omega has that comedy side, and people want to see the serious side. I think we're going to see some serious Juice. I think we're going to see some serious Juice, right? So the things that might turn people off with Juice, you know, he's a little too fun-lovey. He's not taken seriously. He's not a.
You don't think we're going to hear any motherfuckers?
I think we'll hear a motherfucker. Okay. I don't think it's possible for the guy to construct a sentence without a fuck. Be honest with you.
He's like you.
He is very, very similar. We're cut from the same cloth when it comes to our vocabulary choices. And yeah, so here's where Juice. A lot of pressure. I feel like I'm putting a lot of pressure on the poor guy. But this is a
dun, 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 dun.
another 80s
little,
reference.
Little Queen Bowie there.
Yes, that's right. Not Vanilla Ice?
No.
Oh. Okay. Big spot for Juice. So good for him. And Goto, let's not forget about him. A successful title defense, I think, is important here as well. So to help him get his groove back as well. So should be a great match. Again, I'm excited for it for all those reasons. And I think I would say the majority of our listeners are excited for it as well.
A match I'm not that excited for is our next one, the semi-main event for the IWGP Tag Team titles. We've got a three-way here. We've got Ishii and Yano, the champs, defending against GBH and KES. Considering that we're going to see this same match again the following week on the next New Beginning card. What do you think is going to happen here? KES picking up the victory and then successfully defending once again?
Yeah.
I think right? so, too.
I can't. I mean, why would we have the same exact match the next show? It makes no sense to me.
Right.
Unless we're flopping the belts over. Which, again, I'm okay with. Right, I'm good with that. You're a big KES guy.
Yeah, they're probably, as far as heavyweight tag teams in the division right now, they're my favorite.
Okay, would they be three-time IWGP tag champions?
I can't remember.
At least two, right? I'm almost certain it's three, maybe even be more. Quite honest with you. Back to the future. Are you upset with Yano and Ishii possibly losing the belt so quickly?
I hope they lose the belts.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So, and we talked a little bit about Ishii. What do you stick Yano at that point?
In the bar,
making chunkle. Okay. All right. Listen, poor Yano. And then GBH, they're.
I don't know what to do with those guys. And especially Honma. What do you do with him now? Because his whole shtick is killed. That's been killed long ago.
Yep.
He's no longer Charlie Brown. He's hit the football numerous times now.
Yep. Yeah, what do you do with the guy?
I don't know.
What do you do with a Honma? Talented guy. Right?
Very talented guy. Great wrestler. But again, his whole mystique, his whole allure is... It's really kind of sucked the excitement out of his matches.
He needs something. There's something that needs to be done with him because he's. I don't want to see another year of GBH. Truth be told,
maybe he can bring back like fluorescent light tubes and introduce them to New Japan. What do you think?
Nah.
No.
See, I like Big Japan. Those death matches, man. Sometimes they're just. Like, I just can't stomach them. Like, they don't do anything for me. It's not my cup of tea, man. I feel sorry for them, actually. Like, I just feel like, oh, why are you doing this to yourselves? No, I think it's a big question going into 2017. What do you do with Honma? Like to see him branch out a little bit more.
How much is that Honma in the window?
I don't know.
The one with the falling Kokeshi.
All right. I don't know what that means. All right. So KES, I think we're all in agreement, walking away with the straps.
And absolutely.
Then we go from there. All right. Then we'll see the match this time next week. Great.
Finally, main event for the IWGP Heavyweight title. The champ, Kazuchika Okada, defending against Minoru Suzuki.
I'm at a 12.
you're standing at a 12.
Pants. Kids, drum roll, please. Pants are down.
Same here.
Yeah, this will be fucking amazing.
Do you think that this has... remember the match Suzuki had with Tanahashi in 2012, I think it was?
I'm sure... I don't remember off the top of my head, but I do know I've seen it.
It was a 5-star match. Do you think that this has 5-star capabilities?
It does. Will they be able to pull out a fiver? I mean, look, two very talented pro wrestlers in that ring. But I tell you what, that'd be a nice little feather in Okada's cap, right? To have back-to-back title defenses popping out fives.
Sure would.
Isn't it amazing? Like, that's our bar now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, that's our bar is 5.
Because we've gone beyond that.
Right. We've smashed that ceiling of 5, right? So now we're talking like 5 as, well, yeah, it wasn't 5. You know? Like, we set these fucking expectations so high now.
It was only a 5-star match?
Right, it was only 4.5. Well, you know. Like the ceiling is just so ridiculous now. Like,
thanks,
honestly,
Omega and Okada.
Really, thanks. Well, I mean, not for nothing. Thanks, Okada, in the sense that, you know, you look at his main events. You know, anything below 4.5, and it's like, what was he sick that day?
Right.
You know what I mean? And we're talking 4.5.
He's getting married, by the way. Congratulations to him.
Yeah. I don't know the backstory, but yeah, good for him. The bar is so high. So can they pull a 5? Absolutely, they can. Will they pull a 5? I hope so. But I hate being – that's – like, we're so blasé about it now. Like, we're so, like
– we're spoiled, rotten.
We really are. Colin, when you look back at these main events, you know, and again, the Dome is a special case, but you have to factor them in. I mean, G1 and, you know, Invasion Attack and Dominion and these main events, man. We said it before this last award season. 20 fucking matches that you could have an argument for and people voted for, you know, for match of the year. Voices of Wrestling had their match of the year stuff.
Oh yeah, who was announced as number one?
Number one was as voted by the listeners of the flagship. It was a little bit different than ours.
Okay.
Not by much though. Omega Naito from G1.
Okay, that doesn't surprise me.
Right, that was our number two, right?
Yeah, I think that was our number two because our number
and
one
it was close.
Tanahashi Okada.
Yeah, and it was close. Yeah, right. Our number and that was their number two. And I think it was only like about 20 votes that separated, or maybe 30 votes. Like, and they do a weighted scale two thing. So, it was tight. It was tight. But yeah, Omega Naito G1 was their match of the year.
What do you think is going to happen here with the finish of this match? Do you think that it is possible that we see a complete Suzuki Goon sweep here for this show?
It's possible. You wouldn't be the first person to come to me and say that's their thought process. Yeah, I think it's a possibility.
I think it all depends, too, on where they're going with the New Japan Cup. Because, okay, let's say Omega returns in time for the New Japan Cup. Well, I think Okada would have to kind of be the champion. Although, maybe not, because there are still some shows between then and Dominion. You have two shows. You have the New Genesis show, and then you have Wrestling Dontaku. So it is conceivable that you could see Suzuki win on this card, then him and Okada could have the rematch at Genesis or Dontaku. Suzuki drops it again, and then we get Omega Okada at Dominion. And again, this is all, I don't know anything. I'm just spitballing off the top of my head.
Right. And again, I'm more of the argument of let's keep Okada and Omega separate until the Dome. But
you could do it. I mean, that could be the third match, though, and I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, but now I got to be honest with you, with the whole contract situation and the re-signing and all that shit that went down, trust me, it gave me a newfound appreciation for let's get this match on as soon as we can.
Yeah, see?
You know what I mean? So, you know, while at first I was like, hold them out, let's stretch it out, let's make the rematch of the Dome, I'm kind of taking the opinion of let's get these fucking two guys in the ring as quickly as possible. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think what you have laid out in your mind is logical, and it could be the path that we go. Will we see a title change here? Colin, drum roll, please. Yes. I'll say yes.
I'll say yes as well.
All right. So we're looking at a title change, a very historic moment here in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
We're both predicting a Minoru Suzuki win here. At New Beginning. So exciting times. All right, we'll see what happens.
And not only is a Minoru Suzuki win, but a complete Suzuki Goon sweep.
Sweeparoo kangaroo.
How's that? Them and LIJ are going to be the at the top of the heap.
At Survivor Series.
That's right. At the Survivor Series, as Bret Hart would say. At the SummerSlam.
The SummerSlam.
He would always say that.
Go to the Google.
Right.
All right, so that's that, right? So exciting times ahead. Our predictions are in. And that would be that, you know, all wrapped up in a bow. All right.
Very nice. Damon, you want to quickly inform the listeners of what you're going to do today?
A proctologist exam. No.
Ah, okay. Yearly.
No, certainly. No, I'm healthy as a horse down there, apparently. Locally. So about 5 to 10 minutes away from me in the New Jersey's showplace, Pensauken, New Jersey. Some young lions are going to be in town. Sho Tanaka, Yohei Komatsu, are on a independent pro wrestling show.
They are abroad.
Yeah, they. So, again, I just want to see them. I got a picture I got to get signed. You know, I got that.
You
I took
your
it.
Pictures.
I like my lesson. I like my pictures. I like my autographed pictures. So I got like a little. When they were hanging out at the Ring of Honor show, the Brooklyn show, got a little picture there. So I want to get that signed. I'll hit that. Me and Mackie are going to take a quick jaunt over there, see them, and then come home and relax finally. I had a very busy weekend. So that show starts at 2 o'clock, and it's now 1:12 p.m. here on the East Coast. So we got to wrap this show up. I got to pick up Mackie and then go see some young lions.
All right. So without further ado, I will take us home. Once again, we just want to thank all of our great listeners. Damon, I can't tell you how many tweets we get and how many Facebook messages we get from not only old fans, you know, thanking us for doing this each and every week, but new fans saying, hey, just discovered you guys, love the show. So from the bottom of our hearts, we love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us, coming along for the ride. Remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com is your one-stop shop for all things PuroCast. You can listen to each and every episode right there as it is uploaded, as well as links to all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, the whole gamut. And don't forget to visit VoicesOfWrestling.com, probably the premier site for Puduresu, really, in general. They do the best job at covering Japanese pro wrestling and New Japan, and lots of great shows there for any palate, for any flavor of pro wrestling that you enjoy. So, Damon and I are going to be back here next week, same bat time, same bat channel, to talk about this new beginning show in Sapporo that is taking place February 5th, Sunday. So, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys right here next week. Later.